Saluton from BA. This is a Rorschach Multilateral update from the 2nd of September 2025, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. Starting with defense, this week, on Thursday the 28th, NATO announced that each of its member countries has reached the spending goal of 2% of GDP annually for the first time since 2014. Leaders are treating it as a signal of unity, especially with heightened security concerns around Europe, mostly related to Russia. While all allies now clear the baseline, a few are pushing further. Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia expect to devote around 3.5% of their economies, placing them well ahead of the rest. Over the past few years, NATO allies have steadily raised defense budgets, especially after Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine. At the 2025 NATO summit, allies even agreed to a new long-term goal of spending 5% of GDP on security by 2035. Still, there are concerns that this surge in spending could fuel an arms race and strain national budgets. Moving to the Middle East, on Wednesday the 27th, 14 members of the UN Security Council accused Israel of causing famine in Gaza and demanded a permanent ceasefire, the hostages' release, and unrestricted aid deliveries. They stressed starvation must never be used as a weapon. A hunger monitor recently confirmed famine in Gaza City and warned the number of people facing it could rise to over 640,000 by late September. Israel rejected the report as biased, pointing to new food shipments. The U.S. alone withheld support, questioning the data but still acknowledging urgent humanitarian needs. In other news, on Wednesday the 27th, on Moldova's Independence Day, leaders from France, Germany, and Poland joined Moldova's president to pledge backing for her government and its bid to join the European Union. They praised Moldova's persistence while warning of disinformation and foreign money influencing upcoming elections, as both have been consistent issues in Moldova's politics and elections. The president of Moldova faces tough competition from pro-Russian parties ahead of the vote at the end of the month. In Asia, on Thursday the 28th, UNICEF noted that children are paying the heaviest price as violence in Myanmar's Rakhine state intensifies. A deadly strike in a township last week left young people among the casualties and destroyed homes. The conflict is pushing families from their communities, cutting children off from schools and clinics. Displacement is growing quickly, leaving kids exposed and without stability. UNICEF warned that the loss of education, healthcare, and safety could have lasting effects and is calling for urgent measures to protect children. On Friday the 29th, over 300 environment ministers and officials from 33 Asia-Pacific countries gathered in Nadi, Fiji, to discuss urgent climate action as part of the UN Environmental Programme. They rolled out 5 draft resolutions on coral reef protection, circular economies, wildfire management, youth climate engagement, and better policy coordination. The gathering pushed for science-based solutions, innovative funding, and stronger regional teamwork to tackle climate change, biodiversity loss, and pollution. Going back to UNICEF for a bit, on Tuesday the 26th, it released a report which shows that despite progress, 1 in 4 people around the globe still lack access to reliably safe drinking water, with over 100 million relying on untreated sources. Meanwhile, huge gaps remain in sanitation and hygiene. Over 3 billion people don't have safe toilet access, and almost 2 billion lack basic hygiene facilities. The report highlights that rural residents, low-income and fragile region communities, children, and indigenous groups are especially overlooked. On Monday the 25th, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development released research detailing how Latin American and Caribbean governments are dealing with issues like big online platforms using exclusive deals, favoring their own services, or bundling products. Rather than breaking up companies, authorities mostly choose flexible fixes, which are rules that guide behavior, temporary steps while investigating, and formal pledges from companies to play fair. Even though they are good at adapting fixes to unique digital challenges, Local regulators should draw from global examples, get expert input, and cooperate internationally to keep things balanced and working for users across the region. In Africa, from Monday the 25th to Wednesday the 27th, the Economic Community of West African States held a conference that concluded with fresh regional certification schemes for fortified iodized salt, wheat flour, and edible oils. The idea is to make sure fortified foods meet shared benchmarks, improve nutrition across the region, and give local industries a smoother path into regional trade. On Wednesday the 27th, the International Labour Organization dropped a regional check-in report. The report looks at how Latin America and the Caribbean are handling social dialogue. It notes progress like wage, social, and labor councils, safety boards, and conflict commissions that help ease tensions. However, it also flags big obstacles: weak union membership, fragmented employer groups, and shaky protection of core rights such as collective bargaining. The report maps national setups, highlights success stories, and urges using dialogue as a regular tool to build trust, fair work, and stronger institutions. Still in Latin America, on Wednesday the 27th, the Organization of American States announced that it will send a team to watch over Jamaica's 2025 general elections set for later this week. Led by Kenny Anthony, former Prime Minister of St. Lucia, this group of experts from 16 countries will check everything from polling boundaries and voting tech to how parties get money and ensure that women are able to take part in the electoral process. There have been concerns about polling station relocations for police and military personnel, which some fear could cause confusion or disenfranchisement. On another note, on Wednesday the 27th, Iraq rolled out its first ever national migration plan, running from 2025 to 2030, designed to make migration safer, fairer, and more structured. It's a five-year push to create better opportunities for work, school, and family reunions while strengthening how the country manages movement. With backing from the International Organization for Migration, policymakers are aiming to align with the Global Compact for Migration and use solid data, stronger institutions, and private sector input. Meanwhile, on Friday the 29th, the Pan American Health Organization, or PAHO, announced that there is a new regional system in both North and South America, ready in case foot and mouth disease returns. This disease infects animals such as cattle, pigs, sheep, and goats, and past outbreaks have caused major damage to food supplies and farming incomes. The new setup means countries won't have to scramble if the virus shows up again, as they'll have the ingredients needed to make vaccines right away. Backed by PAHO, this is an emergency plan to protect farmers, food security, and trade across the region. Foot and mouth disease is highly contagious and spreads rapidly through direct contact, contaminated equipment, or even the air over short distances. Outbreaks can cause severe economic losses due to livestock deaths, trade restrictions, and mass culling. And to close this edition, on Friday the 29th, the International Monetary Fund, or IMF, wrapped up its annual health check on Hungary's economy and flagged a few key issues: a mix of government controls like price limits, windfall taxes, and subsidized loans has muddied the economic signals, and public debt remains high, especially given rising borrowing costs. The IMF recommends that Hungary rebuild its financial buffers, keep interest rates tight into next year, and push for reforms to boost competitiveness, energy security, and productivity. The IMF often releases economic recommendations to specific countries to promote stability, growth, and sustainable fiscal and monetary policies. These guidelines aim to help governments address vulnerabilities, improve resilience, and maintain confidence in international markets. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. We want to make this update better. Any ideas, suggestions, send them out to info@rorschach.com. See you next week.